You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's Thursday, April 23rd, 2026, and welcome to episode 180 of Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast. I am your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you very, very much for tuning into the program today. On this week's show, I'm going to be talking about the game Final Sentence, but we start the show off with a look at the headlines from this past week. And this week's story is coming from Chris Scullion at VGC. And the bizarre tale of Build a Rocket Boy, the developer of Mind's Eye, continues to get weirder and weirder. You may recall that after the game bombed spectacularly last year, CEO Mark Gerhard blamed, quote, organized espionage and corporate sabotage for the game being the lowest rated title on Metacritic for 2025. Even announcing a few weeks back that the game's upcoming DLC titled Blacklist would be used to expose the former employees whom he blames for sabotaging the game, saying, "We will use these people, these names, and these facts for our own fun. We're going to put some of these names into our upcoming spy mission." Yeah, so setting aside for a moment how unhinged all of that sounds, you might be asking, how does he know who's responsible for this so-called espionage? Well, we may have that answer this week. Former staff members and the IWGB Game Workers Union are taking legal action against Build a Rocket Boy for reportedly spying on their own employees by installing surveillance software on their hardware without their knowledge and collecting all manner of data. In a statement from IWBG, they say, quote, "In an internal meeting which was leaked to the press, boss Mark Gerhard and Leslie Benzies confirmed that the software TerraMind had been installed without workers' knowledge. The program tracks user keystrokes, records screen activity, and captures microphone audio." That's bad. The TerraMind website states that the AI-powered software enables proactive protection against insider threats, data breaches, productivity inefficiencies, and compliance challenges. Blah. The union goes on to say that while the software was removed in March after a grievance was filed by 40 employees, management still refuses to disclose what data was collected from their employees, how it was stored, and the reason for the installation in the first place. So, yes, these people seem completely bonkers, and I am both terrified and cannot wait to see where this ridiculous story goes next. You can't make this stuff up. Battle Royale genre isn't exactly at its peak these days. Trend-chasing publishers have mostly moved on to extraction shooters as their next attempt to cash in. And even Fortnite has seen a dip in its player count recently. Still, it's possible to do something interesting in this space. And Final Sentence from developer Button Mash is certainly interesting. So Final Sentence is a typing battle royale. When the game starts, you and up to 40 other players are each sitting at a desk in what looks like a warehouse or an airplane hangar with a typewriter in front of you. When the clock starts, you all have, I think it's 4 minutes to type out a paragraph in front of you. There are something like four or five rounds or paragraphs to a match, and the first person to finish typing all of the text wins. Pretty straightforward, really, except that standing at each desk is a tall man in a trench coat and a creepy-looking mask aiming a pistol at all of your heads. If you make 3 typing errors in a round, the man will load a single bullet into the gun, spin the barrel, and pull the trigger. That's a 1 in 6 chance of your game ending with a bullet to the head. If, though, you are lucky enough to survive, you get to keep going. But mess up again, get another 3 strikes, and he will add another bullet to the gun. Yikes. Typing class in high school was never this nuts. The combination of, you know, type as fast as possible to win the game, and also don't type too fast or you are dead. It's a pretty wicked and smart concept, I think. And it feels legit stressful as you are typing away, focusing on every little word. You know, the buzz that goes off when you make a mistake is jarring. And then you'll hear a loud gunshot and look up to see the person in front of you slump out of their chair onto the floor dead. It's intense. The game also supports proximity chat, which in theory sounds like it should be great. I saw this game first on a Nextlander stream, and you could hear the sound of people panicking and yelling when they would make mistakes before, you know, a gunshot would end their game, and that was cool. But in practice, you know, my very first game that I played of this started with someone using a homophobic slur, so I turned all the voice chat off then. The text that you need to type gets changed up to keep things interesting. You know, sometimes it's just, an excerpt from a book or a novel. Sometimes it's a grocery list. And to really mess you up, I hate this one. Sometimes the letters in the words, like the middle of the word, will be scrambled up, which really does a number on the old noggin when you are trying to go as fast as you can. There are also some other game modes like Knockout. That variant has 8 players all sitting in a circle, and at the end of each round, whoever is in last place, that person just gets shot. The only real knock I have against this game is that there's no real progression to speak of. You do gain levels, but as far as I can tell, that doesn't really get you anything. It's just a number that keeps going up after each game. There's nothing to unlock, like different environments or typewriters or anything. Nothing really to kind of keep you playing for long stretches at a time. This is more of a jump in every once in a while to play a few rounds and then move on. Which I guess, you know, for $10, it's kind of hard to, you know, be too upset about that. I don't consider myself a very good typer. My wife tells me that I have a pecking style of typing, but I did win a couple of rounds. It's hard to say, though, if the game does the Fortnite thing for beginners of giving you a bunch of bots at first to help you win and kind of get your confidence up and encourage you to play more. There are definitely bots in the game because you can adjust the difficulty of them, but it's just basically, you know, because of the manner of the game, it's impossible to tell how many you might end up with in any given match. I think Final Sentence is a pretty cool, smart twist on the Battle Royale formula. It's genuinely intense and got a cool vibe, and it's thrilling as you type for your life. And really, it's the kind of game that, you know, just about anybody can pick up and play. You know, if you can type, you can jump right in. It's not going to be your next obsession that keeps you up, you know, late into the night playing for hours and hours, but that's totally fine. It's very simple, but it is executed very well. Final finally, this week, I actually wanted to circle back a little bit and talk more about Pokemon Pocopia, because not only has that been the game that I continue to gravitate towards at the end of the day, but it's become a full-blown obsession, and I've already logged in, like, over 100 hours in the game. This is a legit Game of the Year contender for me at this point. I've unlocked all the zones, but I still haven't wrapped up the actual main story bit. I'm sure I could have a long time ago, but I continue to spend most of my time creating my own little perfect Pokemon utopia. And given my sort of insane attention to detail when fixing up the world, I've decided at this point to really just focus on making the first zone as great as it can be. It would take me many hundreds of hours to get all of the zones that way, the way I play, and that's just not feasible, I hope. So I'm really just honing in on that one area. I've got my main street where most of the Pokemon live, and then I've built a farmhouse. I've got a ramen restaurant, a sort of public bathhouse, hot spring kind of deal. And my favorite thing so far is my museum, which I use to store all of my fossils and artifacts that I find. And it's got a glass ceiling that also serves as the ground for a big park that sits on top of the museum. And I'm building a railway to get around the area more quickly. Yeah, for me, this is like the next iteration of Animal Crossing. It's that comforting, chill vibe that I want in a game like that. But it's got an even better level of customization, so you can build out your world however you want it. I truly don't see myself getting tired of it anytime soon. It's got its hooks in me deep. And I know there's a system that lets you visit other people's areas. So if you've got like a code for your, I can't remember what they call them, Dream World, Cloud World, but send it over to me on Blue Sky so I can check it out. I gotta see what everyone else is doing in that game and get some cool ideas for my town. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you would like to support the show, you can do so by subscribing and leaving a review. Those are very important. Until next time, I'm your host, John Wall. Have a fantastic rest of your week. And don't forget to save.